Missed the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show?
Hello.
You didn't? Well, here it is again anyway. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
All right, how's it going? Welcome to this week's edition of the Snodcast. Now, coming up very, very soon, we're going to discuss weight issues and, of course, my skepticism. No, I wouldn't say skepticism. I would say panicking about... No, I wouldn't say panicking either. Anyway, I'm turning 30 very, very soon. Find out my thoughts on the whole occasion right here. We discuss weather girls. Sorry, should I say weather people, to be 100% politically correct. And talking of politics, yes, we say goodbye, Gordon. Hello, Nick. And David. The best thing about turning 16, can you remember? We discuss it. And also a novel way of making your garden look tip-top for summer 2010. Finally, bags for life and how they frustrate me. It's all coming up.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
Yesterday, right, I received a text message from somebody.
Right.
And they were discussing Dancing on Ice, which, of course, took place in Belfast.
Oh, I forgot to ask you how that went.
On a Sunday night. Yeah, it was very, very good. It was lovely to be part of the judging panel. Anyway, someone says in the text yesterday morning, Pete, you did well on Sunday night. I thought, thank you very much. But you've put on the beef.
What?
Yes, apparently I've put on the beef.
But that's a good thing. That means muscle, doesn't it?
No, beef normally means fat.
I don't think you have.
Well, there you go. So, thank you very much for that yesterday morning. So, I'm thinking,
when was the last time they saw you, though, I wonder?
I don't know.
You know, if it was 5 years ago, well, that's different.
What are you trying to say? I have put on the beef?
Well, from five... Pete! Don't put me in that... No?
What are you trying to say, then?
I'm not trying to say anything. It's just everybody changes with time, you know?
So other words,
I don't think you're not
old,
fat.
Decrepit and fat, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't be calling yourself old and decrepit. You're really not.
30 days till I'm 30.
Oh, for goodness sake. Tell you what.
Okay. So.
Rule on the 30 days.
11th of June 2010, Snodden officially turns 30.
If you haven't worked it out yet.
And is now fat.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
7:16. Good morning, I'm Pete. Kirsty's here.
Good morning.
Just call me the fat one.
No, I'm not going to call you the fat one. You've been working out really hard this year, and I'm thinking perhaps you've bulked out.
Perhaps I have. I don't know. Anyway, this is what someone said yesterday. So thank you very much for your lovely, kind words.
Well, I think you look great.
Thank you. Thank you, but you would say that anything to suck up.
I'm not sucking up.
918-200-101 the phones this morning if you'd like to get involved in the conversation. Hello.
Hey, it's not called putting on the beef. It's called contentment and welcome to married life. That's what it is. You get put on the beef once you get married because you're eating your food, of course, meals every day while your wife's making you.
No, my issue is the fact that I, believe it or believe it not, don't eat enough.
You don't eat enough?
No, this is true.
Okay, well then I take it back, everything I've just said then.
Okay. Well, what's your name?
It's Shelley.
Thank you very much, Shelley.
No worries, but you're definitely not putting on the beef.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shelley's such a flirt, isn't she?
No. Is that what you thought she was doing?
This is true. This is true. Apparently, right, you've got to... You know what? You see, I know women worry about body image. You know, it's a very body conscious society we live in.
Yeah.
I got sucked into purchasing all that protein stuff the other week.
I haven't had any more.
I haven't started using it yet. Well, I've
just
had one shake. Right, anyway. The situation is, apparently, right, to have body beautiful, you've got to eat 6 small meals a day.
Yeah.
And you've got to drink a number of these in between times and stuff. It's hard work.
It's to keep your metabolism going.
Yeah.
Because if you take a break and don't eat anything for hours and hours on end, your body thinks it's starving.
Which is me
so
all the time.
So it shuts itself down. So you're not burning any fat off. Whereas if you eat little and often throughout the day, then you're okay.
Too much hard work as well,
I remember reading this a long time ago, and I swear by it. You need 8 hours night of sleep.
8 hours night sleep.
See, and I did get it last night. I still can't talk properly. You need 8 hours sleep a night.
Okay, so listen.
And that affects your waist.
This is what worried me, okay?
What?
For those people who've just switched on the radio, last night I was at the Northern Ireland Football Writers Association dinner. Okay? Bit of a mouthful, but I got there. And I was speaking to a friend of mine who's, this sounds very morbid this morning, whose friend at the age of 40, had a heart attack. Didn't pass away from a heart attack, but had a heart attack. And he thinks I'm going for it by getting between 4 and 5 hours sleep a night.
If you're lucky.
And then actually eating a bit for breakfast, and then maybe not having anything, eating a wee bit in the morning whenever I get up, and then maybe not having anything to eat about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then having dinner about 8.
And then going snacking. To bed.
Yes, so there you go. So that's what I'm doing. So it's all good. Seriously, in all fairness, if you want to know how not to do it in terms of eating and sleeping, speak to me. Mm. No problem at all. I might write a book one day. Now, I mentioned for Rebecca Maxwell this morning, her mum and dad and brother Keelan would like to wish her a very happy 16th birthday. All landmark birthdays coming up. 16, of course, very special birthday. I was very frustrated at 16.
Why is that?
Because I wanted to do things that I wasn't old enough to do.
Right.
I wanted to go places that I wasn't old enough to be. And very frustrating age. You're right, you're in limbo at 16.
Were you cheeky
whenever you were 16?
No.
Did you go through that rebellious teenage phase at 16?
No, I didn't really rebel much at all.
Then, I didn't really rebel either. Because I was quite fortunate in the sense that I was sort of allowed to just get on with it, do what needed to be done.
Yeah, it's pretty independent. Mum was working, so yeah.
Pretty good. 18 was a cracking birthday. It meant I could legally go to the places that I was going to, which was good. 21 was a cracker. 21, the Hard Rock Cafe in Belfast was still open at that stage, and I went out for a meal with all my mates, and they stood me up on top of the seat inside the restaurant and blew some hooters and got the whole restaurant to sing happy birthday to me, and I was scundered. In fact, I remember on that occasion I was wearing a red top, and I was as red in the face as I was in terms of the colour of my top, which was quite good. So what have I got to look forward to? What have I got to look forward to now? I'm hitting another milestone birthday. 30 years on the planet. What happens at 30, Kirsty? Come on, tell me.
The main thing I felt was grown up. I actually felt like an adult.
But I feel like an adult now.
I felt like people took me seriously. I was more confident.
I felt like an adult as soon as I got my first mortgage.
No, I can't say I did. I think the pressure was too much for me. But when I hit 30, that was reality.
You're not officially an adult.
I was confident. I was a woman.
I think I'm old before my time.
I think you probably are.
It's true.
I think you need to stop thinking about it.
I remember whenever I first paid the tax, man. Oh, I still pay them now, by the way. But, I felt old then.
Mm.
No, do you know what? You know the best thing? I've just dawned on me.
What's the best thing?
The best thing about turning 16.
I know what it is!
You get your national insurance card!
You normally hear them on the radio. Now you've just heard them on the internet. It was the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Good morning. Now, I don't know whether you've caught the quality weather forecasting on the terrestrial television phenomenon that is Channel 5. I don't know who the news or the weather forecaster is who is on there, but they did something extremely strange the other day.
She did. And she's a lovely looking girl. She was telling us the weather, stood beside the map as always. And then she turns her back to the camera and stands right in front of the map. So she's talking about Northern Ireland, but Northern Ireland was actually behind her head, so you couldn't actually see what she was talking about.
Can you see her bum?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I can't be 100%. I don't think her bum was in shot. She had lovely hair. It was nice and
shiny. Backless dress?
No, not a backless dress.
Why do you turn your back to the camera? Surely that is...
Yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was very interesting. Thought I'd like to bring it up this morning.
What a rubbish weather forecaster.
I think she's called Rebecca, but I'm not sure. I must say, when she does face the camera, it's a better look. She is very pretty.
I have to be honest and say that there are some weather forecasters out there that I love. There's this Irish girl who's on Sky News. Very nice. There's that bird called Becky who's on ITV quite late at night after the 10:30 bulletin. She's good.
Right.
Then we've got our very own Cecilia Daly and Angie Phillips. I mean, what would weather forecasting in Northern Ireland be without Angie Phillips?
Angie's great. She doesn't stand in front of the map either. You can actually see the map.
What happened? And plus as well as that, she highlights points of Northern Ireland you didn't even know existed. Like rock. Huh? Can you tell me? Can you tell me where Rock is, Kirsty?
I have no idea.
See, get it on Google Maps. It's just outside of Dungannon.
Right. Okay.
It's a metropolis. See, and you would highlight places like Rock.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever happened to Shan Lloyd? Is she still doing the weather?
Yeah, she wouldn't be my favourite.
What?
Oh, that voice. I know some people might hate mine. You know, so those people who live in glass houses and all that. I'm sorry.
I always loved Shan. Was she in a bit of a love triangle or something?
No, but that was she was the one that went out with your politician guy that went on with one of the cheeky girls then. They were engaged, I think.
Her, she went out with Lempit?
Yes.
Did she? Wow.
Or am I getting confused? I'm sure you mentioned her last week. Shan Lloyd. Redhead.
I've got to be honest with you. Well, I know exactly who she is.
No,
I think she's lovely.
I just wanted you to confirm that it's the same person I'm thinking of. Yeah, she was with your man, Limpet.
So then he ditched the weather girl for the cheeky girl?
Yeah.
And now he's been ditched by the electorate, right.
Good morning.
Talking about Kerry Katona this morning. Apparently, right, she wants to get a job being on the panel for X Factor. And she is waiting the call from Simon Cowell. Be a hell of a long wait for you.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. I think it'll be an awful long wait. I reckon you should get yourself some frozen pizza in and chill out just in case you...
Watch the show.
Yes, it'd be very difficult in case you leave the house just by chance, you know, maybe a wee while down the line he does actually phone. But I would get the... If you're going to stand by the phone and have a bit of a stakeout, get some of those old frozen pizzas in.
Do you not think that he would give her a chance?
No. So, no, I don't.
Just for as a guest, 1 week?
No.
I think he might.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll see.
Now, last night, I am well and truly electioned out now. Obviously, during the election, I watched so much 24-hour news coverage. It was unbelievable. Last night, I watched about 20 minutes of the whole, you know, new PM, mm-hmm. David Cameron, Gordon Brown leaving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just had enough. I just had a flick over. I need something else. Do you know what? This whole election has come in the way of my my sort of watching of Neighbours. I've got now 8 episodes in the can. I'm now 8 episodes behind those people who are watching it each night or each lunchtime on Channel 5.
Wow. Well, it won't take you long to catch up. You can probably just watch
the last two. 4 hours.
Just watch the last two. It'll bring you up to date.
No. You need to be watching it time and time and time again just to get the full gist.
Well, at least you can fast forward all the breaks.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's like watching it on the BBC again. Right, it's 12 minutes past 7. What are you up to yesterday?
Last night I watched a programme on telly and it was Heston Blumenthal's Great Feast or whatever that programme's called. I don't normally watch it, but it came on and I got sucked in. He was doing 80s food. That guy goes to a lot of effort to plan out his menu and does some weird things. You would have loved it. He made the biggest toastie in the world last night.
How big was it?
Well, it would have been about 9 toastie makers all put together. They did it in this factory and they put 9 together, so you laid out a huge loaf of bread across it. So you would have had 9. What's 9 fours?
Come on,
Kirsty.
36.
36. Sorry, it's a bit early for me this morning. So he would have had 36 toasties out of the one machine. They look quite good, actually. But he did curried banana.
What, curry banana toasties?
Yeah, and sweet and sour pork toasties. And then ham and cheese, which are the ones that were the favourite.
Right, okay, listen. Ham and cheese were the favourite?
Yeah, but then he did it.
I mean, why go to the...
He was using the 80s cookbook that went with the toastie makers when they first came out. He wanted to try out the recipes.
Who cares? So, in other words, back in the 80s, whenever you got your toastie, someone actually had to read an instruction manual to work out how to use them. Are you nuts?
Well, it was the first time they were about.
Right, so anyway, they
might have forgotten to put the butter in it.
So anyway, the 80s cookbook, the 80s manual with the toastie makers was saying the thing you've got to make is curry banana toasties.
Yeah.
Wonders will never, ever, ever cease. And anyway, what's the point, right, of making a toastie that's sort of 36 toasties sandwiched together? I mean, at the end of the day, you're never going to be able to put your mouth around it.
No, he cut them all up individually. It's just he wanted to cook them all together.
You cut them up individually, so it's just like 36 separate toasties. What's the point?
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Okay, I take it all back about Heston. I know he wastes an awful lot of time, okay? Like, for instance, 36 sandwich toasters just to make the world's biggest toasted sandwich ever. Ooh, Brilliant. And then he cuts it all up so you can actually eat it. So there's no point in doing it in the first place. He does all this weird and wacky stuff. Explain the sweets thing that you did last night in the TV.
Because it was Eddie's best and he was talking about how there was so much going on with the astronauts and freeze-dried food and this, that and the other. And the weightlessness side. He wanted to make a weightless dessert. So one of the things, he did three different desserts, but one of them was these little silver balls that sort of looked like they were floating on the table. But what it was, there was like a hairdryer or something underneath a table that was keeping these balls up in the air. So they were bumping around. And they were actually, they were wee chocolate balls. Inside he put freeze-dried raspberries and some freeze-dried mascarpone and other bits and pieces. It looked really cool. And he sprayed them silver. So they got these wee silver balls.
Sorry, you're going to have to phone. Imagine the situation at home, you know, Sunday afternoon, you're having people around for dinner. Sorry, you're going to have to phone them. Hairdryer's broken. Unfortunately, the wee balls won't rise above the table. Sorry, meal's cancelled.
Well,
put them off to next
thing.
Week.
This is the thing.
Who does this
Most
stuff?
Of the things that he does are impossible to do at home. But there was one thing he did last night.
And this is where I turn around and go, Heston, you are the queer boy. Forget all that other crap that you were doing. It was rubbish. But this here makes sense. Particularly for me, with 29 days to go to my 30th birthday, this is what I'm going to be purchasing.
Right, okay. Basically, he was making champagne, fake champagne from Blue Nun by using a soda stream.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Blue Nun,
you know,
in the bottle.
Everyone loves Blue Nun.
Yeah. You see, sales have gone down, but it was so popular in the 80s, so he wanted to bring it back. So he took this SodaStream champagne out on the streets and got people to compare the real stuff against the Blue Nun fizzy stuff. And everybody preferred, well, over 50% of people preferred the Blue Nun.
Gotcha.
So,
Excellent stuff.
And all it was is Blue Nun into the SodaStream, press the button a couple of times and bingo.
Excellent stuff. There you go.
Why has nobody else ever thought of that before?
Well, I don't know. Everyone around Lurgan now will be putting Buckfast in the SodaStream.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
I'm definitely electioned out now. After about 20 minutes last night of watching the Brownster leave. And old Cameroon come in.
Cameroon. You just remind me of that macaron. Do you remember those wee bars that used to get that are covered in coconut?
Right, anyway, with him arriving and old Browner leaving, then I just had enough and I flicked over to watch some mind-numbing TV, like Neighbours or something like that. But I laughed last night because my mum called round to the house and she says...
Did you give her a wee tick?
Mum called round to the house last night. She goes, oh, did you see Gordon Brown leave? Oh, I felt so sorry for him. He's a lovely man too.
Well, I can see where
I'm just wondering whether people's mindset have changed because he now sort of gets the sympathy vote because he's out and he had to go and make that wee speech at the front of number 10.
Well, I'll tell you what, for once I can actually say that there's a really nice picture of Gordon Brown on the Daily Mirror and it's of him and his wife holding hands with the two boys here stood in the middle. Here are actually very cute. They're not what I expected at all. But if there'd been a picture of Gordon Brown with his family like that publicised beforehand...
Do you reckon more people would have voted?
It makes him seem like a human being. Hmm. He's a daddy. And, well, he isn't smiling, but maybe that's a good thing because I never liked to smile anyway because it always looked false. And he always has the same one. You know, but
for every up, there's got to be a down.
But yeah, he does look. He's probably just relieved. He's probably got a huge weight off his shoulders now. He can go and be a daddy and write books and make proper money.
So a brand new prime minister, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Last week, as from what I'm led to believe, whenever Mr. Cameron came over to do a wee bit of a chin wag and a wee bit of a press call with Sir Reg. He did say that if he turned out to be Prime Minister, he'd be back here within a week. So the countdown's on. Get your skates on.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Right, it's Cool FM. It's just gone 12 minutes to 8. Some new research has just landed on my desk right here. Who do you reckon the biggest reality TV show flop of all time is?
The actual person?
Yeah, who do you reckon the biggest reality show flop is? Of all time.
No idea.
Steve Brookstein has topped the poll.
Oh, really?
The biggest reality show flop of all time.
But surely the fact that everybody remembers him is a good thing.
I see where you're coming from. And to be honest with you, this whole, you know, biggest reality show flop is inaccurate. Surely the biggest reality show flop should be Rick Waller, followed by Michelle McManus.
Mm.
See? Now, C has been on the text. Don't know what C stands for, but morning C, who's doing their driving test today and they haven't told anybody. Wish me luck. Best of luck.
Oh, good luck.
I didn't tell anybody whenever I was doing my driving test. I was hard scared of failing and then, you know, being branded a failure and having the hand taken out of me. I know a friend of mine who didn't get his test until the third time.
It happens.
Yeah, I know it does happen, but if he had a failed dad, I mean, he was getting an awful ribbon in school.
I know, but that's not going to help him because he's just going to fail under pressure.
But he got it in his third attempt. Well done.
Sometimes it's the stupidest thing as well that can make you fail. There's nothing wrong with it. Do you remember the last time we were talking about driving lessons, actually, or tests, and there was a guy on, he was going to do his test that day, and we said, get back in touch with us, let us know how you got on, and he never did.
Obviously, he failed.
So I hope whoever that was does better second time round, and I hope you do well today.
I was very lucky, actually, in my driving test, because there was another driver on the road that almost made me fail my test.
Mm.
Just as I was approaching the junction to turn right, obviously the two cars have to come head on and then pass each other without going past each other. On the offside. Yeah, instead of passing each other. But he went to actually pass me and go right round the back of me to turn.
Oh dear.
Yeah, had he completed that, then I would have failed my test.
Right. But it wasn't that you were in the wrong part of the road.
No, nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. It's always someone else, Kirsty.
Always.
As heard every weekday mornings, when you wake up. That was the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show, Snodcast.
If you just joined us, by the way, I've got a new seat in the studio this morning. I'm feeling extremely comfortable.
And lucky.
And lucky
I'm
going
to moan, I didn't get one.
I feel it for you, Kirsty, yes I do.
Well, I sit here for 4 hours as well.
I know you do, and you sit in the draft.
Yeah.
Of the actual...
air conditioning.
Yeah, know, that too.
Blooming freezing. It's okay at the minute though, touch wood. But see you come 8 o'clock this morning, temperatures drop.
Freezing and cold and in an uncomfortable position. Okay, I'm going to be the gentleman here. Would you like to swap seats?
Oh, come off it.
Would you like to swap seats?
So I'll have it tomorrow.
On a Friday?
Yeah. Then you can have it on Monday and I'll have it on Tuesday.
Right, we're going to have to talk to the management about this. Right, 7:08. Do you see Pinky and Perky on the TV yesterday?
Pinky and Perky?
Yeah.
No.
You did. Nick and Dave, Aunt and Dec.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Pinky and Perky. You can't call them that.
You can. Absolutely. My goodness. They're in each other's pockets more than their own hands, for goodness sake.
It's got to be Dave and Nick, though. Dave and Nick,
There was an awful lot of licking up yesterday.
Was there?
Oh, they were sucking right each other like there was no tomorrow.
Well, if you remember, David Cameron once described Nick Clegg as a political joke.
That's true. So and they mentioned it yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah, and then it was, oh, it was brilliant. Then Nick pretended to walk off and Dave went, ooh, come back.
The comedians.
Oh, dear, I cannot wait. It has to be Dave and Nick.
Dave and Nick, I reckon.
Dave and Nick, Saturday night. Imagine Julian, right, being on the box introducing Dave and Nick's Saturday Night Takeaway.
He wouldn't quite say it like that, though, would he?
No, he wouldn't. That's right. Said far better.
This is the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.
Listen up. This is what you've got to do to ensure that your garden is looking A-OK for summer 2010. I've sprinkled all my stuff on it. It's gone sort of brownish.
Yeah. It needs raking soon, I think.
Yeah.
You took the rest of my stuff, so I don't have any instructions anymore.
Oh, hold on a wee second. So what? Now you're getting at me for taking it to me.
No, I gave it to you, but it means that I lost the bottle that it was in, so I don't have any instructions, so I don't know what to do.
I'll bring the empty box back to you tomorrow.
Will you?
Yes.
Or just have a wee reading and let me know when I got to rake all the brown stuff out. It needs cutting again.
The thing which frustrates me about that stuff is it seems to me that daisies aren't affected by it.
I know.
It sort of sorts everything else out.
The dandelions are pretty much gone.
So, what are they saying today that we have to do to ensure that we have a tip-top garden?
Okay, we want to get ourselves a wallaby.
Apparently. A wallaby?
Yeah.
Sure, you can get them in Australia.
Apparently, there are some living here because there's a lady here who's trying to get rid. She's got, let's see how many. She's got quite a few. 17 of them she's trying to get rid of. They're going from between £300 and £1,000 each.
Cheaper to get a lawnmower, really. But
yeah, but at least you don't have to buy any fertiliser.
True. So what's so good about a wallaby?
Well, a wallaby will just keep your grass nice and short. They've got...
Why don't you get yourself a cow?
No, you see, they would damage the grass with their heavy hooves, whereas wallabies have got flat, long feet, so they won't actually damage your lawn. Now, the only problem is you can't have stripes. You know the way I like to have stripes?
Yeah.
on my lawn.
Right, so you're telling me wallabies can actually live in this country?
Yes, they can. There's one particular brand of wallaby that you can get. It's the Bennett's wallaby, and it has a hardy winter coat, so it can withstand our winters. Yeah.
So
you need to be careful. You need a nice tall fence as well, because they can jump 6 foot.
So what happens whenever you take it out for a walk? I mean,
you don't need to take it out for a walk if it's jumping around your back garden all day.
But if it's confined in a space, I mean,
I tell you what, you wouldn't be able to keep up with it, because they can actually run at 30 miles per hour, which is pretty fast.
Pretty good. I wonder if you could train it right to go to the garage on a Sunday morning to get you a tin of beans, two papers and some soda bread.
Lisa's got a wee carrier.
That's very true.
Stick it in his pouch.
You normally hear them on the radio. Now you've just heard them on the internet. It was the Pete Snod and Breakfast Show Snodcast.
We mentioned the latest craze, a must-have for summertime 2010 with regards to your garden. Forget all that fertiliser stuff and all you put on it. What you want to have is a wallaby.
Yeah, they'll keep the grass nice and short.
Quite good for going to the shop as well. We pouch in the front so he can pick up, or she can pick up exactly what you need round there. We got on to discussing actually going to the shop in the studio this morning, particularly Kirsty's local store, where they're now charging her for plastic bags.
5p for plastic bag.
It's not just any plastic bag. It's a... because they're doing exactly the same thing.
It's a 5p carrier.
5p carrier?
If you had a wallaby, you wouldn't have to pay. Because I never remember to take a carrier bag with me.
I'm exactly the same. Do you know what really frustrates me?
What's that?
Okay, your park in the car park, off the place, you know. It's not just any plastic bag. Right. And you're walking in, meanwhile you see punters getting out of their car and going into the glove box or the boot and lifting out their bags for life. Now, the bag for life was introduced, a year and a half ago? And still to this day, I have never weighed into the shop with my bag for life.
You just keep buying them. How many have you got?
I don't know. My house is coming down with them. But every day I arrive in the car park to see some smart ass getting out of their car with their bag for life. And it frustrates the hell out of me. You know what else really frustrates me even more? Not even the bag for life. You know the people who go out and buy one of those purpose sort of manufactured bags for the supermarket, like what the Australians have been doing for years and years. They've been carrying these in neighbours for like 20 years.
The netting ones?
Yes.
That stretch well and don't break.
Absolutely. Or sometimes it's like tougher, like cord type.
Right, okay.
Right, you see the people who have them?
Yeah.
They really frustrate me as well, because not only have they purchased and paid like maybe a fiver or a tenner for them, but they also remember them every time.
Well, you would if you paid a fiver or a tenner for them. Maybe that's what they need to start charging for plastic bags. You'd soon remember to bring them then. But if it's 5p, you know, realistically, they're not doing anything to help the environment. They're just making more money.
Exactly.
Because 5p, you think, oh, yes, whatever.
Yeah. Who said it was for the... Yeah, they're all doing their bit for the environment and stuff. Oh, yes, we are very, very, very environmentally aware. Absolutely. Cutting down on plastic. Not if you're selling your bags to people like me.
As heard every morning when you wake up. That was the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show Snodcast.